Waves.
Woo! Here we go. Wild Times. Kyle literally just told me what episode number it is. I don't remember.
He said it. I heard it. Don't know what it is either.
It was literally, it was like I was a wall. It just bounced off me. I asked the question and did not retain the information.
No.
Episode like number 115. I am your host, Forrest Galante, the broologist, along with my two co-hosts. Two co-hosts?
Is that? Yeah, you have two dungeon-based co-hosts.
It does look very dark in both of your locations.
It's pretty weird, kind of. I don't think about how much it actually affects the vibe of watching the video, but I watched it the other day, and I was like, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
It's
miserable.
I was surprised to learn that we had a carpet cleaner cleaning our sofas and rugs. It's the loudest machine in the world, so I had to frantically scramble to the garage. And we're also packing to move in 3 days, so it's just a fucking shit show.
It's the worst thing in the world is moving, and the older you get, the more of a pox on your life it becomes.
This is the last time. This is the last time.
I've
heard that before.
Yeah. At least I don't have a full zoo that I have to reload. What would you do if you moved, Forrest? Like, what would you have to do? Bring in, like, one of those livestock trucks?
No, I just put down all the animals and start again. It's too much work.
Just let them go.
No, yeah. when we had the fires, we had to evacuate all the animals. Because we're like, it's one thing for the house to burn down, but if all of the critters die, it's, like, terrible. So we had two different friends with horse trailers come in, and they loaded up the miniature pigs and the horse and the donkey. We had to catch all the goddamn peacocks, which is always a nightmare. Yeah. Like, they went to our friend's chicken farm. I scooped up all the turtles. There were like turtles in buckets in my hotel room. There was like a dozen Home Depot buckets with turtles in my hotel room. Yeah, it was a mess. It was a disaster.
Speaking of turtles, I was thinking about this the other day. And it was like fucking like 2 a.m. I was like, I can't text Forrest about this now. But it's a little bit of an animal mystery that I've never gotten to the bottom of.
Let's go.
All right. So remember back in Louisiana on the woodpecker shoot?
Uh-huh. Of course.
So like day maybe five of the shoot, I can't remember, day five or six, you came upon that alligator snapping turtle when you were in the kayak or whatever.
On the trot canoe, line. Yeah.
On the line.
Yep.
And that thing's a beast, and we were all like, this is super cool. It was a good little scene. You freed it and got rid of the line.
Yeah, that was fun.
So on our last, I think it was our last day or second to last day,
the tub turtle.
Yeah, we were filming B-roll, like just B-roll of like cool fishermen down by these docks. A guy pulls up. He's like, what are you doing?
That's right.
We're like, oh, we're filming a little, just some B-roll of these guys fishing, like nothing really. And the guy has a fucking giant turtle in the flatbed of his truck.
It's like a 100-pounder, Peter, like a 100-pound alligator snapping turtle in the flatbed of his pickup truck.
How does a 100-pound alligator snapping turtle, like 50?
60, 70, maybe 50. I don't know. Very old and
we
very
have some
large.
Videos yeah. we shot of the turtle that ended up in our tub.
I got to see if I have a picture of that. I'll text it to Kyle while we chat.
But this thing's like, a fucking dinosaur, by the way.
Dude, wait till you see it in my... Yeah, anyway, Patrick's going to set it up for...
So we're like, what's going on with this turtle, bruh? Because we had just been with one of these turtles like a few days before. And they're, you know, they're super cool. And this thing was like dried out, just roasting in the hot summer sun in the flatbed of his truck. And he said he'd had it in there for a few days, alive.
Yep, exactly.
And I was like, all right. Or I can't remember if it was for it. Some of it was just like, can we just buy the turtle off you?
Do you remember that was like a whole thing? Well, yeah, except it was illegal. So the guy was like, oh, it's illegal to sell you this turtle. And I was like, well, how do we take this? So we should explain this. This guy was like a good old boy, like toothless redneck from Louisiana, right? And he was going to go eat them there turtle. And we're like,
little did he know it was like an endangered species.
Little did he care is a better way of stating it. But, he was just like, I'm going to eat this turtle. And we're like, please don't. Like, that sucks. And
he's going to boil it. That's how they eat it, right? He boils it alive.
Yikes.
Man, I have pictures of the one from the swamp. I'm looking for pictures of the one that ended up in the tub.
I'll find the bathtub one and see if I can send it to Kyle.
See if you can find it. Here, I'll send this to Kyle in the meantime. But anyway, yeah, so... So I'm like, please don't kill this like endangered, very old turtle that are becoming increasingly rare. And he's like, well, what do y'all want to do about it? And I was like, I'll buy it from you, like $100, $200, whatever you like. He's like, that's illegal. And I was like, that's fine. So is eating it. But like, where do we go from here? And the homie was kind of like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And I was like, well, what if I give you $200 for like your fishing rod over there? And that's worth maybe $12. And you give me a snapping turtle and it's two different exchanges. He's like, all right, that we can do, you know, like perfect. Skirting the law. And yeah, hopefully we don't get in trouble for this. But basically we figured out a way to rescue this turtle so that the guy wouldn't eat it. The problem was, as Patrick was explaining, this was all taking place in the afternoon of our second to last day or last day in Louisiana. And we had to take it far away. I wanted to take it back to that same swamp area we'd been working in to release it so that it wouldn't be caught, because where we were working was a natural reserve. Like you just couldn't do it. And so, yeah, so we rescued this turtle and then had to, because it was our last day of the shoot, we were staying in a Marriott. Patrick, you want to set up what happened?
Oh my God.
First we have to get,
I think I could guess.
We have to get the turtle into the hotel. Mm-hmm. So, and this thing's 100 pounds. So we put it in a giant duffel bag.
That was moving.
Put it on a luggage cart and brought it into the Marriott and brought it up to Forrest's room.
This didn't happen. This is a movie you guys tried to pitch.
No, this all very much so happened. In fact, oh, look, there's a photo. There's a photo. Yeah.
There's a video. Evidence. I sent you too, Kyle.
No way. Please send me these. I don't have these. This is fantastic.
Yeah. We took a video to send to our producing partner, Eric. Kyle should have it in a second. But so we put it in the tub. And turtle's just in the tub. And we're like, okay, great. We're going to go out and get dinner. Go out. We get dinner. I think it was Jared's birthday. So we went to an Outback Steakhouse. That was his choice.
Yep.
And where he ordered chicken tenders, which was the subject of much scrutiny.
Much. Ludicrous.
And then we come back and I go up to Forrest's room with him to check on the turtle. Turtle ain't in the tub anymore.
Mm-mm. Oh, no.
Nope.
He is snapping away. He has somehow gotten out of the tub and wedged himself in between the sink cabinet and the fucking floor.
Yeah.
He has climbed out of the tub, left just the snake. Oh, here we go. Here's the
look on your face already. Just like,
This was filling it up. The thing was so beat up. It's funny. It doesn't even look like, yeah, it's funny. It looks like hell. But yeah, so he climbed out of that tub and we kept the bathroom door closed. So instead he had wedged himself between like the freestanding sink and the wall. But in doing so, he had ripped the sink off of the wall. So we had very much so damaged the Marriott hotel room. And then I had to like jimmy this turtle who was just like just snapping away at me out and put him back in the tub. And then I forget what I did. I think I put like some Pelican cases over the tub for the night and got up at like 4 a.m. and ran him out to the swamp.
Here's the mystery to me is how did that turtle get out of the tub?
I go back to that video, Kyle, or go back to that photo. Go back to that photo. Here's the thing. So snapping turtles, not alligator snapper, just keep that up for a second. Snapping turtles are known to be very good climbers. This is an alligator snapper, not very terrestrial, very rarely leave water. And look at how high the sides were. And by the way, if you touch the side of a bathtub, you fall over just from touching it.
It's straight. It's like Teflon.
It's slicker than ice. How this turtle managed to climb his way from there up out of the tub and destroy the bathroom, thus costing us several thousand dollars, I have no idea whatsoever. But we did save his life.
Okay, so it is a bit of an anomalous behavior that turtle managed to climb out of there.
This is coming from me, who has turtles in every direction of his office. I would have said with 100% certainty that turtle was not getting out.
Yeah. I mean, also, it wasn't like I didn't really get a sense that the turtle was thankful that we saved him from being boiled. Like,
no, he was trying to eat me the whole time. He was real shitty about it.
Yeah, he had no idea.
Yeah, he had a terrible attitude.
I just asked ChatGPT if an alligator snapping turtle could climb out of a bathtub, and ChatGPT says it's highly unlikely, almost impossible that it could ever happen.
Well, its AI is fucking wrong then.
Yep.
Dude, this whole thing literally sounds like the plot of a movie, and I wouldn't believe you if you didn't have pictures.
It's a true story. There's something
There were so many things like that in Louisiana where, like, just random coincidences. Like, we had – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Mitch on the dock.
Well, that was amazing. What was the snake that we just caught? What was this snake that Justin's holding? It's a venomous snake.
Probably a cottonmouth. I can't really tell from that picture. Wow. But it was probably a cottonmouth if I was making Justin hold a venomous snake. Right.
I can't believe Justin's still alive after all his hijinks on
set. Yeah, we put him through a lot.
Well, we caught a little cottonmouth and we released it. And, you know, we shot a little scene with it when Forrest caught it. And then a couple people were like, I want a picture with the cottonmouth. Mm-hmm. And
not Patrick.
No, I do. You forced me.
Oh,
yeah. I used the snake hook.
Good.
Even after after you threw his shirt on the
This was actually pre-Cobra.
Oh. Yes, pre-Cobra.
The Cobra was the last straw. He's like, I'm never playing snakes with you ever again after the Cobra.
Yeah. Yeah, you made me play snakes.
Oh, there we go. Oh, look at that. God. Love
but,
it.
Unbelievable.
So we just released it and we finished whatever we were doing and then we were going to review some trail camera footage. And so we were like, hey, just like, let's just go back and just sit. You know, we were like maybe a couple hundred yards from where we were filming was like a little camp that we'd set up. And I was like, just sit, you know, you can sit in your tent and review the footage for shade. And so Forrest, somebody had done something. I think Mitch like put a light in there, left the tent unzipped.
Oh, yeah.
Forrest just goes and sits down in his tent and literally almost sits on the cottonmouth.
Yep. Very, very close. Typical. I'll show you. I have a picture of the camera.
Like in the 15 minutes since we'd released it, or it was just a different cottonmouth, just went inside his tent.
Right. Yeah, it's warm in there, right?
How bad will that be if a cottonmouth gets you? Is that like similar to a rattlesnake?
Yeah, pretty similar. It's not great. It's a viper. It's going to rot some flesh. You're going to be very sick. You have to go to a hospital. But yeah, no, I couldn't believe that. So we had, this thing crawled right up under the tent 15 minutes after we released it. Or it was a different one. We did catch more snakes on that swampy trip than anywhere we've ever been. It was crazy.
It was very snaky.
There was a snake every 150 feet.
Wow. What happened with Mitch? You know, like, I'm curious. You guys passed over that.
I think we've told the story on the pod.
Is this where he dropped his camera in the water?
No, well, his camera almost stayed bone dry. He fell in the water.
He went in the water. We were doing some eating and drinking. Kyle, did you get the text I sent you? Pull up those photos. Let me show you the feast we were having. This was fun. This was a Patrick Dunn thing. Look at this feast. So we just had this crazy Louisiana crawfish boil. As like our welcome to Louisiana. It was like pounds of sausage and shrimp and it was awesome.
Oh yeah.
And Mitch was filming it and he decided to like get a wide shot and just backed right off of the dock into the swamp. It was so funny.
Dude, foot off the dock. Hilarious. Yeah. And he saved the camera though.
Kept the camera above his head. It was very, very funny though.
That's his talent. Keeping the camera dry.
Trying to see if I had any. He was such
Peter,
a sad
what's,
bandit.
What's come across your radar this week? What are you into? Any alien sightings? Did we get to the bottom of the new objects?
There's so much.
Yeah,
going on.
Dude, there's been I think four now items, UFOs shot down over Canada and America over like the past couple weeks. Or actually, I think it's been a little longer than that. But they said that the last three were not from China. The first one was. It was big news. It was all over the place. Everybody was up in arms, and because for some reason they didn't want to shoot it down, but it was a Chinese spy balloon. And then the next three, they haven't recovered the debris yet or whatever. They're saying they haven't, and they're also saying at the same time that they are definitely not Chinese spy balloons. So,
really?
It's still a mystery. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a recent thing just a day or two ago where a plane dropped 1600 feet, like carrying passengers. Did you see this, Peter? God. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I didn't see it. No, I didn't see that one.
There was like a passenger plane traveling over, I don't know, Montana or something. And all of a sudden the pilot made the plane drop like 1600 feet or something crazy. And said it felt like a roller coaster and didn't explain why. And it was because they got a warning that there was something else in the air.
Oh, dude, wow.
This is crazy. I got a feeling that disclosure is coming soon. They're really ramping it up here. We're going to find out something.
We're a couple weeks away from a full-blown invasion, methinks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I hope so.
I do.
What do you think that would do to the stock market?
It's now the time to buy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is all he thinks about.
Yeah, buy fucking defense stocks. Buy a bunch of Raytheon and
dude,
Halliburton.
Speaking of which, also across my desk recently, and I know it's not animal-related, but Google just getting crushed in the stock market. Went down, I think, 8%, 6 or 8% after OpenAI's ChatGPT shit came out and Microsoft said they're going to incorporate it into Bing, the search engine. And I'm like, my buddy was hitting
me
up
like
a month.
Eight words. I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, are they getting crushed?
Just continue.
Why is Google getting slammed?
I'm sorry. I had to pause and look at the Spiceman's message that says, let's not apologize when we bring up stuff that's not animal related. Fuck off. All right. So
I'm sick of hearing it. Just talk about what's interesting.
I do it because you guys do it. If this podcast was up to me, I wouldn't talk about anything animal related.
Not true. You have a vast and comprehensive wildlife knowledge.
I agree. You're an encyclopedia.
Sit here and shut up most of the time, but I like it. I learn.
It's like
a lot.
Doing a podcast with Attenborough, if I'm being honest.
It is. It really is. Just as soothing. All right. Tell us more. So first,
no,
apologize.
I was just saying.
No,
so my buddy hit me up like a month ago or something, and he's like, "Hey, man, what do you think?" Like, he's like, "I'm pretty nervous about my Google stock. Like, I think, what do you think about this ChatGPT shit, this AI coming out that Microsoft has a huge, they invested like $10 billion in it. So they own a large portion of it."
Okay.
And which is what the biggest AI, the most like the best AI right now is called ChatGPT-3. And I was like, dude, it's Google. They've been working on AI. I'm sure they just haven't released it yet. It's fine. And then next thing you know, Google lays off like 6,000 or something of people. And then their stock drops, like 6%. And, it's because the OpenAI, Microsoft announced that they're going to incorporate the AI into Bing search results. And if you've used the AI, dude, it's like, It you'll never use Google again. Like, it answers everything pretty much perfectly. And the current version of it doesn't even have access to real-time results. It only has access like to stuff up to 2021 that's on the internet. So once it's incorporated and you type in like a search and it goes to those actual results and gives you the AI answers that way, it's over, man. You'll never have to go to any website. You'll never have to do anything again. It'll all just be right there in front of you.
I think porn is going to be the interesting thing.
How so?
Here's how so. People that are spending a lot of time on porn are incredibly lonely. Okay.
It's true. Now,
I'm just putting it out there.
It's now, true. Yeah.
You have a computer that's generating the most beautiful girl you've ever seen in your life, according to your preferences, that is a fake person. That is going to be your absolute best friend. You have no reason to, and all you have to do is elicit sexual act from that AI creature, right? So yeah. I'm not saying that you're going to, you're not going to be dating them, but you're going to be completely smitten and enamored if you're a lonely, dorky guy with this unreal creature, AI creature, that's on your computer, that's giving you whatever your favorite sexual preferences are, that's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, that's also your best friend.
A zillion percent agree.
Tell me that's
sort of the end
happen.
Of the human race because
yes.
you're so you're making so these are AI created females.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go to the second one there, which looks like a real human.
Yeah, that's really AI. Looks like a real human. Are you
that's
sure
not
that's
a real, person.
A real person?
No, this is what I'm talking about. This
no,
you won't be
I
able
believe
to tell.
That's AI. Yeah.
I can't tell. I thought that was a pretty girl.
No, this is why you're right, Forrest. This is why you're right.
I was just duped. Like, I'll pay her for sexual acts right now.
Okay, you're saying a lonely, dorky guy, but everyone who at age 12 is lonely and dorky, right?
Correct.
So
that's the end of humanity.
If suddenly a generation of 12-year-olds has access to this, then those become 25 and 35-year-olds who are just dating an AI creature. Now they're married.
Yeah.
It's the end of the human race. There's no more reproduction. The end of the
and why also, by the way, even if it's not, like that's taking it to a very extreme, but even if it's not, you're never going to find a mate that you like as much as this fantasy AI thing that is perfect in every sense, that never fights with you, that never nags you to do anything. It's like perfect in every sense. It does all your favorite sexual acts in a AI video. Like, it's
virtual
perfect
reality.
In every sense. You're like, why would I marry a woman who's just going to drain my money and bicker at me? And, you know, like, you're like, why would I do that? Like, I have this virtual girlfriend who is perfect in every way. That's the end of the human race.
There have been like four movies that have this plot, by the way.
I know.
You're definitely right. And if you started using it, you would be even more scared because it's going to be like the internet is nothing but AI generated. You won't know if you're talking. You already probably don't know half the time that you're talking to an AI and comments, everything that's out there. It's so good already.
And this is also like iPhone 1 AI. You know, if you look back to iPhone 1 AI now or iPhone 1 now, you're like, Jesus, that thing was crap. Like the camera was useless and I could barely do anything. It had all these clunky buttons. And imagine what it's going to be like in 15 years.
Well, and here's where, you know, animals become important again, because like real life is going to be the only thing that's not AI. Like you're going to have to get away from the computer to know what the hell's going on in the real world, or else it's just going to be a bunch of misinformation, AI bullshit with fake, you know, sexual partners.
And I do think that pendulum is going to swing. I think you're going to, and I think we're actually already starting to see it with the liver kings of the world and people that are promoting this like primal, ancestral, like go back to your human basics. I mean, even Joe Rogan promotes it, right? I think the pendulum's going to swing and the divide's only going to become greater. But I think everything I just said, I obviously believe, and I believe everything you're saying, Peter. I'm saying that I think there's going to be a big movement for people to be like, fuck all this technology, fuck these cell phones and these computers. Like I need to get outside more because it's becoming so all encompassing. And I'll give you an example of that I find kind of interesting. You know, I coach rugby every year, youth rugby when I'm home. When I started coaching youth rugby, which is like 10-ish years ago, the kids would come off the pitch and they'd be staring at their cell phones. They'd be on, so you know, social media was big. It was hot. It was trending, blah, 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 blah. I feel like the kids now, like the high school kids that I'm working with now, are not nearly as addicted to their phones as our generation and even the kids' generation, like up until like 10 years ago, because the kids now have totally grown up with it. They've had phones their whole lives and they don't feel this like dopamine hit addiction to it and have to get to it the second they're done with something else. Like, in fact, I don't even see kids grabbing their phones before or after training anymore at all. Like, I'm more likely to grab my phone and check it than they are. And it seems like they're just like, they're sort of just, you know, blasé to it because they've grown up with it. Social media has always been available. It's not like this new cool thing. Although there's new cool stuff on it every day, it's not like, oh man, I got to check social, I got to do this. And I've noticed too, maybe it's just because I'm getting old and less fun, but if I like... write something in the text group to the kids, take some hours to respond as opposed to back in the day.
Well, that's
like 5 minutes.
Because they don't like you.
That's what I'm saying. It might be because I'm old and lame now, but I don't know, man. I think maybe like we're not as doomed as we think. And the next generation is going to be a little bit jaded by all this like digital technology and just be like, fuck it. I don't care that much.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying, one more time. Guys, if you like The Wild Times, check us out on Patreon. We put out 4 extra podcasts per month.
That's one commute a week that you're just going to be laughing and learning the whole time in the car. Hey, let me do something else. This is the late night content, stuff that we can't show on YouTube because they'll kick us off YouTube.
It's the Cinemax of podcasts. Uncensored, raw dog. It's the Cinemax of podcasts. Check it out. Link right here.
Did you hear about, I don't know if you guys follow NFL sports news, but have you heard about Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing? Quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
I know who he is, but I don't know what he's doing.
So he's torn on whether or not he wants to return to the NFL, if he wants to play for the Packers. He's not sure what he wants to do.
Okay.
And he said he's going on a 4-day darkness retreat. And that when he finishes the retreat, he'll have his answer. He went into some description of what this is. You go into a small house. It's completely blacked out. They basically put your food through a slot and you're in silence and in complete darkness. Wow. And there's a bed, you know, you can sleep. And you basically have 4 days of like sensory deprivation just to get away from, yeah.
That's wild. Kind of cool.
So it's
a little
four
extreme.
Full days. And I think there's a toilet. What do you think? Okay. What do you think would happen? Like, do you think you would like get some sort of intense like clarity of your thoughts, or do you think you'd just be terrified and start pounding on the door to get out?
I'd be bored out of my gullet. I would have nothing to do. I couldn't do it. I'd be miserable. So you don't even have a book or anything, right?
No. You can't see. It's fucking
pitch
black. Oh,
that's right. It's in darkness. No, I would hate it. 4 days. I don't think I could. I can barely do it for a night. If I go to bed and I'm not sleepy, I'm lying there with my eyes closed, I'm like ready to punch my wife lying next to me just for the attention, like just to get her to just for a reaction.
Dude, yeah, it would be hard. It's a little extreme. Like I could do it if it wasn't just in darkness. Like if it was just not no book, no nothing, but at least like the room, like it would be light and dark and not weird. I think I could do it, and there would be some clarity that came at the end of it.
I think the idea is that you recalibrate a little bit from the intense sensory overload that you get from screens and just the way society is. So it's like it's supposed to be hard, right? It's supposed to be a challenge because you have to just live with your thoughts for 4 days.
Well, what about you?
I think it's a poor.
No,
yeah, let's hear myself. Your.
No, no way. I know that I couldn't do more than probably 12 hours. I would try to sleep for 8 hours and then 4 hours of consciousness and then I'd be out.
Yep.
There's no way I could do it.
I think it's a very poor way to reset. I think you're much better off to get dumped on an island with nobody around.
Right.
And be left to your own devices. And like, instead of not thinking, or rather, instead of just being left alone with your own thoughts, your thoughts are targeted towards something beneficial to you in the immediate future, like survival, right?
Sure.
Versus I'm just going to lie here and think about my life and not stare at a phone or stare at a TV. Like that's useless. Like you're still a useless creature in that situation. Whereas you get dumped on an island, if your thoughts aren't about how do I make fire? How do I get water? How do I build a shelter? How do I catch a fish? You're going to be really, really miserable. So your thoughts are in the present. They're in the here and now. And they're focused on you and what you need to survive. And that's very grounding and reconnecting versus this like ethereal, like, oh, I just need to think of the big picture and take a step back from my cell phone. It's like, fuck off with that. People don't need that. That's not what humans do. Humans work on like bettering their surroundings.
Yeah, we're curious and social creatures. I mean, what he's talking about doing is basically how they punish people when they're in prison.
Solitary confinement. Right.
So yeah. I definitely agree with Forrest, though, as far as like the novelty and the curiosity, which is human nature that got us where we're at, the use of tools, things like that, using our brains, figuring things out. But the problem that he's trying to get away from is, you know, it's that all of those resources that we have that make us human and make us who we are is all directed towards tech now. It's all towards computers and all the tool use and everything is towards typing on a thing, being on a thing. All the social is being on a social network, talking to people through a phone. You can still have all those things. Those things aren't inherently bad. It's just everything's overload and super sped up. So like if Forrest said you get dropped off on an island with your wife or something or a couple friends, it'd be a much better reset.
I think so.
Forrest, do you have all your gear in your office right now?
Nope. I had to ship it to. So I'm going to South Carolina tomorrow for a public speaking thing. And I didn't want to haul the gear to South Carolina and then on, which is the way that my route's going.
Gotcha.
So I had to ship all the gear to Mitch about a week ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I have one very small carry-on duffel, which is not very exciting to show.
Copy. Okay. I saw something in the news I wanted to get your opinion on.
Please.
Big news. One of our favorite animals, the tiger, is involved. Ooh. So in India, in Kerala, I don't know if you know where that is.
Kerala National Park, yeah.
Okay. So a farmer was attacked by a tiger.
Awesome.
Sparking. Okay. Well, just recently, and it sparked local outrage. And the wildlife minister in Kerala said that he's going to consider solutions to bring the tiger population down because it's gone up, right? We were saying it was a great conservation story that it's gone up. And he said that they're looking at either sterilization efforts or possibly culling the tiger population in Kerala.
I mean, where do we start with how stupid that is? You're going to call one of the most, first of all, it's blatantly illegal. I suppose they can change the laws because it's the government, but it's blatantly illegal. Culling tigers is insane. There were less than 4,000 of them in the wild.
Fucking unbelievable.
A few years ago. It's just like, it's stupid on every level. I mean, that's a knee-jerk reaction from a disconnected politician who thinks that that is going to favor people voting for him by making a statement that they think that tigers should be culled. And he thinks that people will like that because it makes the people safe. Like, it's just dumb in every regard.
So a so-called environmentalist in India named Madhav Gajil, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He said he likes the idea and they should do a hunting tag system where you can get a tag and go hunt a tiger, which we all know who's going to be doing that.
Yeah, it's Donald Trump. No, it's incredibly stupid. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trophy hunting. Well, I have ethical dilemmas with trophy hunting, but there's nothing wrong with it when it's done appropriately and the funds are used for conservation. But that won't be the case. You know, it just won't be. And there's not enough fucking tigers. It's just a stupid conversation to even bring up, to be honest. And that's not a dig at you. It's just a stupid thing to even be thinking that way. That's coming from, like I say, just completely disconnected politicians with no foresight whatsoever.
What do you think they would charge for a tiger tag? What do you think Americans would be willing to pay to go hunt a tiger?
Half a million,
get a trophy
at least.
Tiger?
I'm
what
sure.
it, what's how does it work in Africa? What is it? What's it cost for a lion tag?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, it used to be like 100,000, maybe 200. I really don't know. I'm just talking out of my butt. It's not something I've ever considered, so I have no idea. I mean, you know, I know that it raises a lot of money. You can pay $100,000, go get a tiger, and most of that goes into conservation. But we have a lot of lions, you know. In fact, in a lot of places, like what's the name of that park? I'm blanking on it now. It doesn't matter. There's one down near Bulawayo in southern Zimbabwe. There's like 200 lions in a single national park. There's way too many lions. And that's because it's a small condensed area and there was so much prey that the lions have exploded. So those lions need to be managed. And in order to pay for anti-poaching units for the rhinos, of which they have a whole lot as well, if they sell a couple lion tags here and there, well, again, I don't ethically agree with it, that pays for that park to continue. That's fine. That's very different from a few solitary. Hold on one second. Hoover, come here. Sorry.
A few solitary. Okay, yeah, there's less than 3,000 tigers in India. There's over 20,000 wild lions in Africa.
Exactly. 3,000 tigers, and you're going to start culling them. I mean, it's unbelievably stupid.
It's terrible. It's so dumb, man. These people need to get away. Get away from the tech. Killing fucking tigers. Why?
I'm about to be interrupted.
Such a cool animal. Oh, hey, buddy.
Fishies.
Who's that?
All right, show everyone on the pod what you got. Pull them out. What'd you get?
A little unboxing.
What'd you get?
Fishies.
Beta.
Oh, we're adding to the...
No, fishies for the turtles. Whoa, little goldfish.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh, nice.
Are you going to feed those to the turtles?
Yeah.
Okay. You're on a podcast on the internet right now.
Teaching the kid early about the food chain.
Oh, yeah. He knows a lot about death already. It's not good. All right, take those fishies home. I'll see you in a bit. Go on. Okay, go ahead.
Wait, so you feed the turtles just common goldfish?
Common dime store goldfish, the kind you get at the fair. Only once in a while because they're very high in fat and it's a treat, but because I'm leaving tomorrow, they're all getting a nice little fattening goldfish treat so that they still
love
me.
What do they eat normally? Just like the pellets from the store
just
or something?
Pellets. Yep, exactly.
That's good. Nice treat. Good on you, mate. Be like if I ate cornflakes every day.
Yeah, it's like bacon for turtles. So, you know, the Jess went out shopping. I didn't realize, I don't think I told her I was doing a podcast or they wouldn't have disturbed me. But yeah, they went out and got mice for the snakes, goldfish for the turtles, all the good things.
I had an idea for a game if you guys want to play, a little trivia game.
Let's do it.
I think the Brosters will enjoy this. This will make you more interesting when you're on your Tinder and you're chatting with
smart.
You know what I mean? It's always fun to pull up a little trivia sitting
when you're
bar.
When you're chatting with your AI girlfriend. This will make you more interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Love you more.
She'll love you more. All right, this is called the Animal Relatives Game.
Oh, here we go.
So what I have here is I have a list.
Okay.
So Kyle, pull up a picture when I say the animals here, And what you're going to do is you're going to guess what its closest living relative is. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Okay. You know how they're all kind of related, everything branched off. All right, let's start. Let's start with a giraffe.
This is going to be funny because I guarantee it's like something ridiculous, and I'm going to be like, "Oh, it's obviously like monkey and gorilla," but they're not at all.
What's the closest living relative to the giraffe?
Peter, you go first.
To a giraffe? Wow, I'm going to go. Look at that face, camel.
It's a good guess. It's a very good guess.
I'm not going to do very well at this, but this is one that I know. Is the American pronghorn antelope. I don't think I'm going to do very well at the rest of the trivia game, but I know this one.
According to my list, it is actually the okapi.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a type of giraffe, really.
Is it?
I mean, sort of. Yeah, that's an okapi.
That's a type of giraffe. What?
Yeah.
It's like a zebra horse.
It literally, I think they call it the forest giraffe is like its other name.
Really? Wow. That is
from
interesting.
All right.
It's okay. How about this? Right. Let's keep going.
What's the closest living relative to the whale family? You know, let's just say a whale.
Peter?
Your run-of-the-mill whale.
I want to say shark, but a shark's not a mammal, so I'm going to go dolphin.
I want to say Peter's ex-wife. I'm going to hold on that for a moment for laughs.
Wow, this is a public podcast, sir.
I've never met her.
You are liable for that statement.
That's all right.
You've never met her.
She can sue you. The hippopotamus.
That is correct.
No, get out of here. How the hell?
How'd you know that? What's the story
only
here?
I'm just getting lucky so far, only because I know a lot about hippos, that they're closely related.
It's ludicrous. Type in hippo whale relation. I want to see some comparison or something because this is nonsense. I don't believe it. Oh, okay. So it shows you how it, the common ancestor right there, what it might be, like a crocodile hippo type thing. All right. Interesting.
There's so much calamity going on that side of my office.
I know, dude.
He started screaming, ow, 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 owie. There's a goldfish. I can see a goldfish on the floor from here that didn't make it.
Wild times.
Yeah. So,
what about the flying squirrel? The flying squirrel. Do you think it might have a close living relative?
I'll go with bat. A bat.
I'll go common squirrel. Just a squirrel that doesn't have the wing flaps.
Common squirrel would be the more reasonable answer than bat. But the actual answer is porcupine.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
They're both rodents. I just didn't know that was... Wow, that's wild.
It's more closely related to a porcupine than a common squirrel.
Kyle, see if you can bring up a relational chart to this, too. I want to see all of the common ancestors. That's the most interesting part to me.
Yeah, I mean, porcupines live in trees.
Flying squirrel. That's not a real creature.
No. Okay, well, I mean, very fucking interesting. I'm learning more than
ever today. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Definitely for my Tinder dates. Don't tell my wife.
Or what about the elephant shrew?
I don't know.
It's a type of shrew. I mean,
pull up a picture of it, Kyle. This one's really fun. I know more of these than I realized I did.
You've consumed. See, shit sticks there. You don't have access to it until something jogs it loose.
Yep. Okay. It's like a rodent, so I'm just going to go. I mean, this thing looks exactly like a mouse with a big nose.
It's called the elephant shrew because it's more closely related to elephants than it is shrews.
That is correct.
That's bonkers.
Isn't
but I should have known.
It's tiny. Yeah. How big is this thing?
Oh, like this big. Tiny. Absolutely tiny. Yeah.
You think that's why elephants are so scared of mice?
They're like, I don't want to step on myself.
That's right.
It's cannibalism. All right.
Yeah, the elephant shrew is 4 inches and weighs between 1 and 1.5 ounces. And it's closely related to an elephant.
Yeah, it's isn't that wild?
Which is an elephant the largest land mammal?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
definitely. It's
that's
not even close.
Crazy when you think about that. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
What else?
I got one more for you.
Okay.
The Tasmanian devil.
I'd like to see. Give me a refresher picture of this so I can see.
No, I don't actually. I mean, I'm thinking that they're. So it's a marsupial carnivore. you know, maybe this is a trick and I'm going to go thylacine is your closest living. No, because I know it's not. That's a qual or a Dunart.
That's also Forrest going on record that the thylacine is extant.
That's right.
Called it closest
right.
living relative.
Boy. I'm going to go qual. It's got to be a qual.
I'm going to go dungaree, another marsupial well known in Australia. Dungaroo.
Are you just saying words?
Dunkaroo? Dungaree? What am I thinking of? A candy or something?
Do you mean Dunkaroo is a snack that was popular in the mid-90s.
Are you saying kangaroo?
Well, I thought dungaroo was an actual marsupial. I'll go with kangaroo or wallaby.
That is correct.
Wait, Peter's correct?
Yeah, kangaroo. Not the snack cookie, Dunkaroos.
Okay. But, yeah.
What a turn of events.
That's interesting. I would have assumed like a qual or another marsupial carnivore was a closer living relative.
That's pretty fun. I like this game. I'll try to find another list to do it again. I actually have a Dunkaroos story.
Oh, here we go.
Of course you do. Let's have it.
There was a Dunkaroos commercial where it was like an animated kangaroo, and he would sing the song. He'd sing, Dunkaroos, Dunkaroos, you don't just eat, you Dunkaroos. Yeah. So I actually got into my first fist fight because of that song.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. Well, so this kid that lived in my neighborhood, Ian, came over after school in seventh grade, and we were playing video games. And he kept singing it, but he was singing, you don't just eat, you dunk them roos. And I was like, that's not the words. And like, we didn't have the internet to pull it up.
Right.
And he just insisted it was dunk them roos. And so we got into a big argument and decided to wrap our hands in socks and go out in the middle of the street and have a fist fight.
That's great.
That was my first fight.
That's great. Who won?
Nobody. We just punched each other in the head a few times. It hurt real bad and hurt our hands and our heads. And then like a neighbor lady came out and was like, what are you doing? Get out of the street.
Almost nobody wins a fight pre-age 16.
I won
one
time.
Pre-age 16?
Yeah, can I tell you? I think I might have already told on the podcast.
Please.
Against my brother when I elbowed him in the face and by accident knocked him out and then tied him to a tree in my front yard so everybody could see. And he literally was there for hours until somebody, one of his friend's moms came by and like made me undo him. Did I tell you about that?
No.
I consider that a one fight. That's all I'm
saying.
Yeah,
it is. You knocked him out and then tied him up, which is technically taking a hostage.
With a neon green dog leash. I remember very vividly this incident.
By the way, Seth Isaacson, one of our Brosners, suggested that game.
Classic from the beginning.
Game.
All right, well, I think I know what time it is. I've got a battle royale while we're doing games.
What?
Yep.
Dude, we haven't done one of those in 2 weeks.
Battle in 2 weeks.
I tuned by myself.
Battle royale idea from Stuart, SAR22 on Instagram. Battle Royale suggestion, create the best ocean killer from land animal attributes. Three attributes.
Oh, boy.
Yep, three attributes and
that's
one
great.
Body. Good luck. So best ocean-based killer, three.
Okay.
I'm going to grab my.
So per the typical rules, we pick elements from three animals to create a new creature, and it scales up to the size or down to the size of the body.
Correct.
And they're all going to just do battle for no reason.
They're going to do battle in an aquatic environment because this is the best ocean killer.
Ocean, specifically. Okay,
specifically
great.
Ocean, not fresh water. You can pick a hippo, but hippos don't swim, Peter, so they're not going to do very well.
Okay.
All right, okay.
Well, Forrest, do they have
can
to be
you go first
swimming?
Since you all right. have more knowledge than us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, very simple. I am going to start with the body of a polar bear. That is a land-based animal, fantastic swimmer. It's got that big shaggy coat, which is going to keep it warm for hours. Big, huge claws. Oh, wait. Just body. That's fine.
Yeah,
body of a polar bear.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. That's pretty devastating. I'm going to take the head of the polar bear. I want that neck and head, stocky, incredibly strong bite force, big jaws, head of a polar bear.
Peter, I can literally see him on the AI GPT thing right now.
I'm on Google now.
Best ocean creature.
No, I'm on Google searching. Trust me.
What is your keyboard?
It's a good
made
idea,
out? Is
though.
Your keyboard made out of wood? It's the loudest typing.
It's I've literally ever heard. A really nice, soft keyboard.
But you don't all have right. to slam your hands on it. Just
shut
just
your fucking meat paw face up, you ugly weasel. All right, here we go. I'm sick of your interjections. Type it in the silent chat if you want to talk about it so I can bring it up.
I'll type silently.
God, I hate you.
All right, let's go, Peter. Let me guess. Limbs
What's
of a
the fucking
bear.
Game? All right. The characteristics of a land of land animals for an ocean limbs. Killer.
Yep. Uh-huh.
All right, let's go. I'm going with the the body and speed ability of a cheetah.
Cheetah. Okay.
The bot.
Shut
okay,
up.
Okay, so those are your two picks?
Oh, so I'm going with two? No, I'm going with the body and it's also its ability to go fast of the
no.
cheetah.
That
yes,
would be the
yes,
legs.
Yes, I am. I'm going
body
with
and
the,
legs of a cheetah.
I'm going with the head and jaw of a crocodile and
not
yeah,
a land
it.
Animal.
Yes, no. It is a land animal.
Fine, just give it to him. It's not worth it.
They
argument.
Live on the land. I'll pull up a crocodile living on grass right now, you SOB.
That exclusively okay.
Nobody has said exclusively.
Okay.
So an animal that has been on the land is what you're going with.
That's right. A cheetah okay. body
picked
with
a bear. Both of you picked the same thing, a bear, and I'm the one who's got a...
Okay.
All right, Pat.
All right. I want to add some stuff that can get you. So I'm going to go...
That's smart.
Yeah, some stuff that can get you. I want the tail of an orangutan to go along... What?
All right, go ahead.
You want to get whipped with an orangutan tail?
I do.
All right. Well, not underwater, you don't.
Yeah, where it goes even slower, sure.
All right, Forrest is up to round out
Hold
his
on,
creature.
I'm looking something up
That's
quickly.
That's the worst pick in Battle Royale history. The absolute worst.
Well, also, real quick, Kyle, just do me a favor on Google image orangutan tail.
Wait, they don't have one.
Correct, yeah.
Fuck.
You literally get skipped a turn. That's how bad
no,
that
I know, want you just get little, that little look, nub. That little nub that's like this
nub.
Big. You want
Good,
the
it'll
nub.
Be aerodynamic when you whip me with it. You can't
yeah,
reach
but it's
anything.
Needle, it's needle point sharp.
That's right, like a rat.
It's actually very dull and round like a cue ball. I saw it.
All right, I've got the body Shit. Of a polar bear. I am going to give it the... up for two here. I'm going to give it the appendages of a duck. Now, a duck is a land aerial animal for the most part, but it's got big, flat paddle feet scaled up to polar bear size, a couple little okay. wings for flying. It's got the appendages of a duck. That's right. Thank you, Kyle.
Okay.
I mean, that's got to be the most non-threatening, non-killer-esque appendage on any animal.
At the size of a polar bear?
Absolutely. Yeah. What's it going to do, whap you with its fin?
Look at
you
those
wear
claws
those on your
on
feet
that
in the
thing.
Ocean.
And by the way, it's very mobile now. It can dive underwater. It can swim. It can fly. It can tread water. And
you
when
definitely
I
definitely avoid
it,
Pat's orangutan tail. That's for sure.
No, it won't.
I literally had to Google that. That's why I was like, hold on a second. Because I was like, wait a minute. Orangutans don't have tails. Am I crazy? And then I had to Google it. All right. Polar bear body, duck appendages. Oh, we have let down this brosner, by the way. And the head of a sable antelope. I'm going to give it some sharp horns.
Ooh.
So it can just do okay. some
Ooh, horns
duck
are good.
Charging. Yep. Head of a sable antelope, Kyle, if you will.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yep.
All right.
Big
I'll give
horns.
You that one.
Can do some charging, do some damage.
Also then, on the, if it wants to attack with the pointed end of the horns, all it has to do is whip its head back.
It has to right. swim under, which it won't be able to do to my animal. It will not be
not
able
with,
to swim
not
underneath.
With its tail.
No, nope.
Not with that huge tail.
So I'm going with the body. Going with the body of a jaguar. They're excellent swimmers. It has
they
spots,
are.
So it's very attractive.
It's true.
To add to my
Not
polar
sure
bear
how that
head,
helps, but true.
And my orangutan tail nub.
It's ludicrous. I mean, it's seriously.
Nah, it's just right. ferocious.
Peter, you got a good shot here. You got a cheetah body, a crocodile head. Do something smart with your swimmers, and
yeah.
you're good to go.
Listen, it's going to get the talons of a cassowary, bitches. That's right. This thing
so
is going to be, I mean, it's just, it's yeah. going to destroy your animal, Pat, is like a penguin. It's
well,
essentially
yours doesn't have
a
head.
A penguin.
Because
it does,
chose
it has a
the
crocodile
head.
Head.
Well, that's not a land animal.
It certainly is. I could
no
show
head.
You a picture of it. Show me a crocodile on land, please.
Chat, GPT.
I mean, those talons will be sharp, but you won't have a head.
And those talons
I'm
are going to go
unsure
up
of
into
your animal's ability to swim. This was a swimming battle.
Well, listen, there's no, I mean, yeah.
Okay, that's a good point.
Okay,
crocodiles very, you know, it can go in the water,
right,
but
brosters,
it doesn't need to.
We sort of botched this one. Let us know what creature
mine's
make.
Great.
That would be the ultimate swimming beast from three land animals. And vote for ours. Let us know who won. Was it Forrest's polar bear body with duck appendages and a sable antelope head? Was it Patrick's polar bear head on a jaguar's body with a nub orangutan
it's
tail?
Stupidest. It has no attacking power except for its mouth.
Yeah. Or would it be Peter's cheetah body with the talons of a cassowary and the head of a crocodile, which is definitely going to be the most fun to create, by the way. Let us know what your better pick than ours
is.
Yeah, drop it in the comments.
That's right.
I think we're done.
I got to run, fellas. I got very important
get the
Hollywood
hell out of here
meeting with lots
big
of cocaine
Hollywood
involved.
Guy. Nice. Wow. Yeah. A 90s meeting.
Cocaine and fat tire, right?
Absolutely. It's a great combo.
Very good. All right, boys.
All right.
Well,
love you guys.
See you, Pat.
See you, buddy. I'll do the outro. He doesn't need to be here.
No, I prefer that he isn't. It's like I can finally let my hair down now. I don't feel so scared.
When it was just me and you talking shit about him on that other podcast we did, I felt really good that day.
I came out of that chat with like a big smile on my face for the day.
Ditto. Yeah. I mean, right, anything else you want to talk about, or should I do the thing?
Do the thing.
Listen, guys, everybody, girls, brosners, sisters, go to wildtimes.club/info for all the links to all the stuff, including the Patreon where you get 4 extra episodes. Oh, look at that. You got a QR code. You can also click that or put it on your phone.
I'm doing it.
Horace is going to do it right now.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
You just take a picture of that QR code, go to the Patreon at patreon.com/wildtimespod. And 4 extra episodes per week. You can also get those episodes on, it said somebody scanned the code right on the screen. That's amazing. You can also get those episodes on Spotify. Same thing, exact same episodes with video included. Just if you use Spotify, it's easier to do it through there. One or the other. Don't sign up for both. There's been some confusion there. wildtimes.club/info for all the links where you can listen, watch the pod, sign up, support us, everything. And thank you, Fat Tire, for supporting us. I've been drinking it mixed with my coffee this morning. Love you guys.
And if you made it this far, if you listened through that rant, because I'm still believe that nobody listens through the outro, just put in the chat and we won't tell Patrick. We won't explain this. We'll wait till he brings it up. Pat's head looks like an orangutan tail. Just write that. Just don't write anything else. Just write Pat's head looks like an orangutan tail. He's going to get very offended. He's very self-conscious. He's not here to defend himself. So it's a good opportunity to take a jab at the old producer.
He might quit the podcast, which we've been trying to push him out for a year and a half.
Such a dream. That would be a dream. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night. ChatGPT can replace Pat easily.
I bet we could make a prettier Pat on the AI.
Prettier Pat. Oh, I think I pulled an upper back muscle.